We're doing the book of Koheles. We're up to what's called the seventh chapter, the first pasuk. And Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov Sheim Mishemin Tov. A good name is better than good oil. If a person leads a good life, he develops a good name, and that's better than good oil. Why? Because you put on perfume, you put on the best cologne. How long does it last? 3 hours? 6 hours? It doesn't even last a day. You have a good name, so that's like the smell, the reputation will last and will go and will keep going. You know, sometimes you could walk out of your house and you smell something. And you look up the block and down the block, and about 50 meters down, you see someone who really poured on a bottle of perfume. But even a person who pours a whole bottle on himself, you know, I visited my father 3 months ago, and there was a cologne that I said, wow, I remember that my grandfather used that cologne. So my father said, yeah, that's really the cologne your grandfather used. So my father prepared me a bottle of that cologne, and I took it home with me. And our two-year-old son found the bottle. And I'm sitting and working one day, and suddenly I smell the smell, and I'm telling myself, you know, that's very interesting. Wow. And I made nothing of it. You know, I didn't think anything. And I'm walking around the house, and I'm thinking, wow, it's like my grandfather's right here next to me. I'm walking around the house smelling my grandfather. And I'm scared to say anything to anyone. It sounds too spiritual, right? I'm walking all around the house until I come to the bedroom and I see the bottle is empty lying there. Now, so the two-year-old found it and he decided this is like a good idea. So the plus of that was, for about 3 days, the house smelled of my grandfather. Right? For 3 days, it lasted. You take a whole bottle of cologne. I don't know where he poured it. I don't know what he did with it, but he poured it somewhere. But then it's gone. Meaning, even when you pour a whole bottle, after 3 days, it's gone. Tov Shem, a good name, is even better than good cologne, than good oil, than good perfume. Good perfume will only go so far. A good name is limitless. Good perfume dies out. A good name only grows stronger. Tov Shem Mishemin Tov. A good name is better than good oil. Ve'yom ha'mavet miyom hivalido. And the day of a person's passing is better than the day a person is born. Almost a decade ago, we had our first son. And my grandmother came to visit. So, we were very impressed. It's the first baby we had. And we said to her, isn't it unusual? He could pick up his hands like this, and he could wave like that, and at such a young age he can do this, and he can do that. And we were convinced he was a genius. So, my grandmother, in her wit, she said to me, you know, it's very interesting. I've seen many babies where we were all convinced they were geniuses. Somehow, when they hit the age of 15, it all disappeared. All those, you know, they're brilliant. They could wave, they could smile, they could do this, they can do that. And somehow, none of them became Einstein. So my grandmother laughed, and I felt like, ooh, we'll show her. But you know, a few years later, I realized, hey, she had a point. Yom Hivaledo, the day a person is born, the parents might be very excited. To them, he's a genius. To them, he's the cutest thing in the world. But at the end of the day, you don't find nurses walking around and saying, did you see that baby over there among the 200 babies? Did you see that beautiful blue-eyed, blonde, brilliant little thing? No, no one does that. Yom Hivaledo, when a person's born, he has no reputation. And as cute as he may be and as brilliant as he may be, nope, it's all potential. But Yom HaMavet, the day of a person's passing, well, on that day, he should have developed a great reputation by then. By then, by Yom HaMavet, we hope that everyone's talking about this wonderful person who lived on the planet. So Shlomo HaMelech concludes this pasuk and says, just as a good name is better than good oil, by the same token, the day of a person's passing should be so much better than the day he is born. Now, Chazal give us further insight on this pasuk. Chazal say that, Chazal, by the way, is an acronym, Chachmenu Zichronam Livracha, our sages of blessed memory. Sometimes we have a giant in our midst, and we don't appreciate the greatness that's in our midst. We find that for 40 years, the Jews are traversing the desert, and they're drinking the waters of the well. Did anyone think for a minute the reason we merit having a miraculous well is thanks to Miriam, who is accompanying us? No. We're walking through the desert, and yeah, God's making miracles, and obviously we merit having a well. No, we didn't merit having a well. Miriam merited having a well. You know when we discovered that? When Miriam passed away. When Miriam died, and we lost the well, suddenly there's no source of water. So then it dawned on us, hey, wait a second, for 40 years it wasn't our merits, it was because she was in our midst. That's why we had the well. Sometimes Yom HaMavet, the day of a person's passing, is so much greater than his life because people start noticing, wait a second, he was so much greater than we realized all the time he was in our midst. And that very often happens. You have someone in your midst, we take him for granted. It's great, it's wonderful, it's nice. And we don't even appreciate what blessings we have until suddenly they're no longer in our midst. So Yom HaMavet Miyomi Valedoch, as I'll say, Aaron passed and we lost the cloud, the pillar of clouds. Moshe passed, we lost the man. But until Moshe passed, the Jewish people had no reason to think that the man was connected to Moshe. Sure, God's giving me bread from heaven. God's giving me bread from heaven. Nope. God's giving Moshe, you're one of his people, so you're getting bread in the merit of Moshe. It's only when Moshe dies, and suddenly the next morning, no man falls from heaven, and never again, we don't get any more man from heaven, then the people realize, oh, okay, that was Moshe. Shlomo HaMelech continues, and in order to get the thrust of the thought that Shlomo is saying, we should notice, if you leaf through the next few psukim, almost every pasuk is comparative. This is better than that. So initially we said, a good name is better than good oil. The day a person passes is better than the day he's born. Tov lalecht el beit evel, milecht el beit mishteh. Better go to a house of mourning rather than go to a house of drinking and partying. Not what we'd think, right? No. Ask a guy on a Thursday night, where do you want to go? Go visit someone morning or go to the bar? Who's going to say visit someone morning? Shlomo HaMelech says, wait a second, think about it. Next pasuk, Tov kas misachok. Better anger than laughter. Really? I'll explain why. Next pasuk, we'll skip, we'll go to pasuk A. Tov lishmoa garat chacham. Better have a wise man yell at you than have fools praise you, sing your praise. Pasuk Ches, the end is better than the beginning. Having patience is better than having haughtiness. Pasuk Yud Aleph, wisdom is good with a lot, with an inheritance, with a heritage, etc. So we have this constant comparison. This is better than that, and we'll, as we go along, we have to see if there's a common thread in all these comparisons. So the first thing we saw is a good name is better than good oil. The day of a person's passing is better than the day he's born. Now, here we have a tremendous machlokas in the Shas. You guys probably encountered it already. A discussion, is it better if a person's born, dead, or neither? What's the best? Discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, a huge philosophical discussion. Noach lo le'odam shenivra, noach lo le'odam shelo nivra. What's better for man? What's more comfortable for a human being? To have been created or not?
No.
You're created. You have potential in both directions.
It's against your will.
Right? Correct?
You're born against your will.
Correct. I want to share with you a fantastic financial wisdom. Okay? Imagine Mr. Mario enters the stock market. Now, Mr. Mario is convinced that with the debt crisis in the United States and the government shutdown, the market's going to crash tomorrow. Or if not tomorrow, the next day. So what does Mr. Mario do? He takes a stock that's at $2 and he shorts it, meaning he sells it. He says, I'm going to sell 50 shares of this stock, assuming, you know, 50 shares at $2. So I shared $100 worth of the stock. Now, if the stock goes down to $1, he can close the deal, and he made $50, right? Okay. So, let's say Mr. Mario is very convinced that the stock market's going to crash. So Mr. Mario is going to short 20,000 shares of this stock. In other words, $100,000 worth of this stock. Now, he says, you have to understand, if the stock goes down by $1, I made $50,000. Right. Where's Mr. Mario's error? Because it can only go down $2. It can go up limitless. Meaning, if they make a discovery tomorrow, that stock, the whole market can crash, and they can go up to $50. Right? So he lost $48 times 20,000. You guys can do the math. He can hit over $1 million in losses. Meaning, he entered a deal where his profit is limited and his loss is limitless, more or less. Let's go the other way. You buy a stock at $2. Now, the stock can go down $2. You could lose the $2, but it can go up 50, 100, 200. It could split. It could pay dividends. Your profit potential is huge. When a person is born, so it can go in both directions. The profit is limitless. It's as though you bought the stock, it could go up, it could be the next Amazon, okay? Google. But it can go the other way. Meaning a stock hits zero, that's it. In life, it doesn't work that way. You could hit negative. And so when a person enters life, it could go in both directions, limitless up, limitless down. So long come Basil and Bishamai and say, what's better, to have entered this market called life or not entered the market called life? Technically, you can make a mint. What do most people do in the stock market? They lose a mint. Most people classically lose their money in the stock market. Most people in Forex lose their money. 98%, 99%, maybe 99.5%. In all these things, you look at the percentages, you'll see. What happens in real life, if we'll call it that? Are most people winners or losers? We enter the world with limitless potential. Look around you. How many people are here tonight? How many people are in the bar tonight? You go to Ben Yehuda, you go to the Beis Medrash. How many are there? How many are here?
Or if you do both.
Okay. Right, which is first? If you look around, you see that the tendency of man and the history of man, generally the downward pull is so potent, and the upward pull is almost non-existent. You have to find it inside you. You know, you wake up in the morning. If it's Ben Azmanim and your neighbor invited you to party or go hiking or fishing or whatever, no problem getting out of bed. Get up in the morning, and Rav Listman said yesterday, we all have to get up for davening and it's important, and you know, you're going to face the King of all kings, and you tell yourself all that in your mind, and somehow you still have to lug yourself out of bed. It's like the hardest thing in the world, and you keep telling yourself, this is important, and I believe in this, and this is what being religious is all about, and you keep having this conversation, and you're fighting.
Just
5 minutes, right? No, I shouldn't put my head down for 5 minutes, but I want to put my head down for 5 minutes. You don't have that problem if you're going out to play ball or you're going to watch a movie. No problem. I'll give you the simplest example. You sit in the class and you're learning. You're so tired. You walk out of class. Nothing happened and you come to life. You ever notice people sitting on a bus? When was the last time you saw someone with the newspaper look over at the guy with the safer?
Yes, yes.
You don't see that, but you see the guy with the safer look over at the guy with the newspaper. The attraction, how do I know? I live in this world, you know? The attraction, that pull, it's so potent, it's so alive. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say, yes, there's limitless potential, you can go so high, you bought the right stocks, you can do it. But how many people do? And so the conclusion is, it would be much more comfortable not to have come here. Now that you're here, you better make the best of it. No one's asked you, like you correctly pointed out. They didn't ask our opinion. They said, deal. You're here. Now you got to make it work. Okay? So that discussion revolves to some degree around this pasuk. The Yom HaMavet Miyomi Valedo, the day of a person's passing, it's like, whew, he made it. You know, the Talmud says when you have a daughter, you worry a lot. You worry as she's growing up. You worry as she's dating. You wonder where she's going to go. Then she gets married. You worry how her husband's treating her. It's a lot of worry. You know what? It's not only a daughter. It's ourselves too. You live through life. If you're an intelligent, thinking, honest person, then you realize that change is a potential. It's a potential. You get on a certain path and you tell yourself, am I going to stick to it? I told you guys, I dated a girl. Asked me, are you going to be learning Torah in 20 years? And I said, I hope I'll be Orthodox. Do I know where I'm going to be, you know? I hope. I'm working on it, right? I'm saying, right, that's what she said. Goodbye. She flew away. But it's the truth. If you're honest and you're thinking and you're open and you keep examining, you don't know. And we find Kohen Gadol, who was an old man, and he decided, forget it, I'm leaving tradition. No, learn, you'll see. We find in our history, and so in that sense, Yom HaMavet Miyomi Valedo, there's a certain sigh of relief when a person made it, he passed away, and he didn't mess up, so it's like he hit the finish line. And in that sense, Yom HaMavet, the day of death, is much better than the day of birth. The day of birth is potential, but what will you do with it? You know, Chacham Ovadia passed away this week. And people like to talk about what a genius he was. How many people talk about the fact that he spent almost every waking minute learning Torah or helping fellow Jews? You know, it's true he had that genius. But it's also true that he worked very, very hard. He barely slept. He slept what he had to. And the rest of the time, he was working his head off. You know, on a daily basis, he'd meet with doctors and scientists. He'd have a schedule with his learning and davening and meeting people and meeting scientists in order to be updated so that he could then take all that scientific information and see how to apply it within the halacha and all the new questions that he'd be bombarded with. He took advantage of every minute as a youngster. His chavrusa once said, they asked his chavrusa, how come he became such a giant and you're just a big Talmud Chacham? So his chavrusa said, when we'd go down to eat lunch, so they'd give us bread and margarine. And we'd have a chavrusa during lunch. One of us would eat, and the other one would read the Gemara. And then the other one would eat, and the first one would read the Gemara. That's how we ate lunch together. Wow. One would do the reading while the other one was doing the eating, and then the other one would do the reading while the first one was doing the eating. They didn't want to waste even those minutes. Wow. But he said, when we were getting our bread and margarine, I would take a knife and smear the margarine on my bread. Chacham Ovadia would take a block of margarine, put it in the bread, fold the slice, and sit down in front of the sefer. I took the time to smear the margarine on the bread. That's why I didn't become Chacham Ovadia. Okay? He didn't take the time to smear the margarine. That wasn't the part, you know, he was in the... His whole focus was to know the Torah. So, we have potential, but what do we do with it? When a person hits the finish line, he hits the Yom HaMavet and he made it, so then you say, okay, in that sense, the day of death is much better than the day of birth because gave birth is potential, but most of us do not realize our potential. Pasuk bet. Tov lalechet el beit evel. It's better to go to a house of mourning. Milechet el beit mishteh. Rather than go to a party where people are dancing and singing. Basher hu sof kol hadam. Being that ultimately, that's where we all end up. Do you see the connection between Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis? I think the connection is obvious. Why is it that people end life and don't realize their potential? Because they don't think about the fact that there's a finish line. We spend life thinking we're invincible. We do, you know. Okay. If a person would think that there is an end, so then his days would be different. But Shlomo HaMelech says that's why it's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of partying, because ultimately that's where we all end up and we don't think about it. And if you go to a house of mourning, and so the living should think about it. And if they think about it, then they might realize their potential. The issue is, we don't. Like the Chovas Alvavos writes, the average person, when he hears that someone dies, so if it's someone older than him, he figures, ooh, I still have time to get there. And if it's someone younger than him, he figures, I passed that. I'm not going to die at his age anymore. Right? How often do we stop and think, wait a second, but what about me? So Shlomo HaMelech says, we're better off going to a house of mourning, but ask the average person. And he'd tell you, hey, wait a second. There's dancing, there's good food. Go to house of mourning. What do you get? No dancing, no good food. Yeah, but you get a perspective on what's important in life. Ultimately, we're all going to end up there. And the living have to think about it. Why does a person sin? Because it tastes good. What do you mean? When was the last time you had a cheeseburger? Come on. I haven't had pepperoni in my pizza in so long. I never had pepperoni in my pizza. Pepperoni is made of meat, no?
Pork.
Okay. See, I don't know. Okay. Why does a person go that route? Because it tastes good. It tastes good now. And the issue is that we don't want to think about the future. We're a generation that's taken this to the extreme. Enjoy now, pay later. With all the credit cards and the lifestyles we lead, I was blown away. And now, when I was in the United States, I barely saw a used car on the road. Most of the cars I saw, well over 50%, were new cars. So you ask yourself, is the economy booming? So I know under Obama there are a lot of plans where you could get credits for your clunker and whatever. But such a high percentage, are people doing so well? Or are people buying now under the assumption they'll pay later? I don't know.
You're leasing and financing.
Maybe. I don't know.
Also, there was a huge economic collapse in 2008, which put off people from buying their new car. So of all those years of people not buying, it's in a new cycle of buying.
Okay, I hear.
Student loans are the ones that you have to worry about. That student loans outnumber car loans and credit cards combined.
Interesting. Okay.
So,
going back to Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech says the benefit of going to House of Mourning is that a person thinks about life in the big sense, where we all go. And that gives a person an important perspective. Pasuk Gimel. By the way, this pasuk v'achai yiten el libo is v'achai yiten el libo is a rule with regard to anyone's passing. Chazal say that this pasuk gives us the perspective we should have any time we attend a funeral. Meaning, very often, a person passes away, and we figure, oh, shucks, okay, I guess at 94 everyone has to die, you know. So you look at Chacham Ovadia's passing and you say, okay. You know, as bad as we feel, it was nice to have such a big Rav around, but he's 94, you know, he lived a nice old age. So people don't talk that way, right? But everyone in the back of their mind thinks that way. Along come Chazal and Seva Chayiten Elipo. The fact that he passed away now, you know, he did outlive 90 and 91 and 92 and 93, and he was functioning and he was with it. I heard shiurim from him in the last few years. More than once, he was with it. So if he passed away now, that doesn't only reflect on him, it also reflects on us. It means his life came to an end, but we also lost the merit of having him in our midst. V'achayiten el libo, Chazal understood that pasuk also teaches us perspective. That when someone passes away, we have to think about it. Why were we no longer deserving to have that person in our midst? And we'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, in a minute.